The Israel Report with Roland Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks joining us from Israel. A very, very good morning to you, Rolene. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Good in yourself.
Excellent, thank you. So how's the news day going so far in Israel?
Okay, so you know my philosophy. It's quite a slow news day today. It's what I would call a meh news day. And I always worry about this because I always think that it's the quiet before something major happens. And you and I have been through this before where we think, okay, what's going to happen? And all of a sudden we have a day where we're shifting stories all day long, right? Because it's just getting a bit chaotic.
All right. So indeed, it is something we will keep an eye on. But in fact, last night, fresh U.S. sanctions on Iran kicked in as the clock hit midnight. What is the impact here on Israel? What has Israel said about this? Do they just sit back and watch this relationship play out? Or are they concerned that they're going to be drawn into yet another poor relationship between the U.S. and the Iranians?
Well, as you've just mentioned, Trump imposed fresh sanctions against Iran last night, what some are calling the toughest sanctions to date. And Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has actually campaigned very, very aggressively for more sanctions, for the ending of Iran's aggression in the region, who applauded President Trump's pulling out of the 2015 nuclear agreement, says that this is one of the most important moments for the world. And he said, "I congratulate President Trump and the U.S. administration for making the most important decision to impose sanctions on Iran. And this is a very important moment for Israel, the U.S., the region, and the entire world. It represents the determination to curb Iran's aggression in the region and its ongoing intention to arm itself with nuclear weapons." And we've all been watching with a great admiration as more and more facts are coming out about how the Mossad, did the greatest caper of all times and managed to break into the Iranian archives, steal them and bring them back to Israel with the Iranian authorities very, very close on their tail. And it's exposed to most of the world that Iran's intentions really, really are quite nefarious. And President Trump responding to that by imposing tougher sanctions. However, the European Union, they have a completely different approach. They say that they aim to block these reimposed U.S. sanctions, and they are looking at new legal measures that would forbid EU people or countries from complying with U.S. sanctions. So, of course, Twitter being the ultimate place where opinions are played out these days, Howard, I think, you know, all these leaders seem to be at the Donald Trump school of social media.
It's absolutely incredible, yeah. In fact, we even had it yesterday where, I'm sorry I'm interrupting you, but when the relationship between Saudi Arabia and Canada took a dive yesterday, it was all done over Twitter. It was incredible.
Isn't it amazing? You know, if you want to see where people air their foribles or their dirty laundry or where the Kardashians also go to fight, Twitter Absolutely. Apparently is it. And our defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has mocked the Europeans in a tweet. And he says that Sacha Baron Cohen, maybe he needs to dress up as an Iranian Ayatollah to understand what is motivating the Europeans. Now, our defense minister is not known for his great tact and diplomacy. And he's tweeted as follows: "Where is Sacha Baron Cohen when he needs to dress up as an Iranian Ayatollah and meet the leaders of Europe? Perhaps he can understand what madness has gripped them. Europe is working to save the Iranian economy and the regime of the Ayatollahs, which is responsible for a series of terror attacks and attempted attacks, including recent ones on European soil. This is just crazy." And news just breaking within the last 2 weeks that Israel helped foil two major terror attacks, one in Vienna and one in Paris, that were intended to be carried out, backed by Iran.
Very, very, very interesting. In fact, I see that other news, breaking news, and well, that's coming across, I think it was out of JTA this morning, was, and Israel National News confirming that, an opinion, of course, that the Mossad was now involved with the assassination of the Syrian scientist, the man involved with the development of chemical warfare that was used against Syrian civilians. Any thoughts on that?
Well, that would be very, very interesting, and I think that's a story to watch today. I saw the headline break, and I think this is going to be a very, very interesting one to watch. Did it actually happen, or is it Syria trying to muscle in, given that there has been intentions to try and draw Israel into some kind of conflagration by Syria allowing Iran into their territory, and perhaps that these are fighting words? How are they trying to draw Israel into something? But if it is Israel, I don't think we're going to hear any confirmation or denial from the Mossad, because it's really not within their character to comment on these kind of missions. In fact, it was quite against the character or the philosophy of Mossad to even speak about the great caper in Iran, which was very interesting. But yeah, let's watch this one, because this is going to be an interesting story as it develops.
Right. Ronnie's saying Lieberman makes a point, a valid, good point, sadly. Hakamura is saying, can you please ask Rolene, does she think that Trump will ever meet Iranian president personally? Nobody ever believed that Trump would meet Kim Jong-un, so can that happen? Rolene, you give your thoughts, I'll give mine.
Oh, well, that's a fabulous question.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts are, you know, with Trump, he is so unpredictable. It could happen, you know, exactly as has just been mentioned. He met with Kim Jong-un, and it's gone from, another Twitter war of words to a great bromance that seems to be brewing between the two leaders. The issue with Putin as well, there was also tension, and now they are, you know, they're great friends or great chavers, as we say in Hebrew and a little bit of Yiddish. Will Trump meet the Ayatollahs? I don't think Netanyahu would like that very much. I think that if the Israelis hear of any potential meetings between President Trump and the Iranians, there could be some very, very strong words on private telephone lines between the Prime Minister's office and the White House. But Trump being Trump is extremely unpredictable. I think when it comes to our region right now, we would be happy if we could get the Palestinians to meet with the Americans and perhaps get some kind of negotiations on the road.
Right. So my thoughts on it is, I have no doubt that they will land up meeting. There's no question. This is absolutely standard Trump protocol. What he does is he bullies and badgers and removes all negotiations off the table, and then when he has his negotiating partner or the opposite, the person who sits opposite him at the table, when he has him in a position that he wants him, then he will most definitely meet and try and find an amicable solution. So I think it is standard Trump. So I believe that it will happen. All right, taking a look. Gimple the Fool says, by the way, I like donkey. Hachamor, it's my kind of normal. De plume. Gimple the Fool is also saying, regarding Twitter, how come no media in South Africa is discussing the story where the ANC referred to all whites as murderers? It's interesting, Gimple. The reality is that the press just takes up those things that they want to take up, and you just cannot seem to influence it. It's quite incredible how certain things do take on significance and others who don't. Rolene, there's another story also that I'm finding quite interesting at the moment, and of course there's a lot of discussion around the Russians and Trump and the elections, etc. But Israel seems to have been pulled into that discussion. Times of Israel this morning reporting that a fake Russian social media account sought to influence the U.S.-Israeli ties, and that's for the positive, tried to pull Netanyahu and Trump closer. Now, I'm skeptical about that because I think the two gentlemen have a very, very natural chemistry, and they're very much on the same side of the philosophical divide. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you there, but what has been very interesting over the last couple of weeks is looking at the relationship between Russia and the state of Israel. Definitely warming of ties. You know, ties have been quite warm between Israel and Russia, and Israel is very aware of Russia's role in the region, but those ties seem to be becoming warmer and warmer, and it is very interesting to watch just how powerful these Russian social media shenanigans seem to be when it comes to maneuvering world leaders and world events. But and I see here it says that 60% of the posts on Israel work to bolster the relationship between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Trump. But as you've just said, not only do they have a natural warmth and affinity toward each other, they apparently have very, very close family ties. The Netanyahus, the Kushners, the Trumps have been friends for quite a while. So, you know, this also is going to play out in the Israeli media as far as allegations of corruption against Netanyahu and his conduct. You know, could this be something that could topple Netanyahu, Howard? It's going to be a very, very interesting one to also watch develop.
What, in my view, is on Netanyahu is that he has passed his sell-by date, and he needs to make a graceful exit before a way to remove him is found. That said, Rolene, you and I mentioned this yesterday as well, the bizarre story that Russia has named action star Steven Seagal as a special envoy to the United States. Could it get any weirder than that?
It could get weirder. It could get weirder if President Trump announces Chuck Norris as some kind of envoy, and then we'll see some epic roundhouse kicking, Howard.
Right. It is true. But it is true. It's the ultimate Batman versus Superman, right?
But we cannot make this stuff up. You know, Steven Seagal has been absent from the big screen for a while, and perhaps he has moved towards diplomacy and politics. You know, rumor has it he wasn't so diplomatic during his film career, especially not with women. So I don't know what kind – will he be like some kind of strong-arm diplomat? How's this going to work, Howard?
I don't know. The mind really, really, it really boggles, because what we're seeing going on the global stage at the moment, between Donald Trump, Putin, Korea, the Ayatollahs, and Netanyahu, I think the world of politics has actually never been weirder.
Do you know what? To me, it's like an epic episode of Game of Thrones, only without the dragons. And we can't forget that it was Dennis Rodman, very eccentric basketball star that seemed to broker a relationship between Trump and Kim Jong-un. You know, it's just...
So hold on.
Right,
so let's understand this. Kim Jong-un has Dennis Rodman. Putin has Steven Seagal. Right?
Yes.
Donald Trump has Kim Kardashian. I mean, they've developed this very close relationship. And who do we think that Netanyahu's got? Gal Gadot. I'm not sure. I think she's a free agent there.
I don't think Gal Gadot. I don't know. Maybe somebody from the cast of Fauda.
Maybe. All right. Clive saying Russia has replaced Steven Seagal as a Russian representative with Hillary, as she sold the Russians 20% of America's uranium. So funny you mention that, Clive. We're going to be doing a fake news slot every day just after 7. And actually, I have that one on my list to discuss tomorrow. So, Clive, do stay tuned for that. After 7 o'clock, I'm going to tell you about this, the story that Hillary Clinton allegedly sold the Russians 20% of Americans' uranium. Rolien Marks, this is where we love and leave you. We'll speak to you same time, same place tomorrow for the Israel Report that just seems to get weirder and weirder. You have a great day.